here we go. Close your ears. That took a while. Back out. Lock those brakes. All right. Pinkies. Pinkies, we have so much to talk about. I'm going to tell you about track day. I'm going to tell you about test driving cars.
System ready.
So, let's talk about the track day. Now, I have to say, in all honesty, coming away from track day this last time, it wasn't as enjoyable or fulfilling, I guess. I have mixed feelings about this particular track day that I was on. Let me tell you why. There's lots of good things, and there's a few not good things. Big bumps here. Here's the situation. So, this particular track days with this new club I'm with, they have really good driving instructors, and it's a good program. They make you do these educational courses, and then once you've done a couple of, you know, education style track days with them, you know, safety type stuff, right? They're just trying to basically give you some safety skills so that you're not going to kill yourself on the track or run into anybody else. So having met those prerequisites, then I'm allowed to come to the big track day. So this is an actual race course. It's a mile and a quarter course or something like that. Nine corners. Yeah, a couple of straight stretches. It's a nice little course. It's a very challenging course, in fact, but it's a good size course. So you can really get your car up to speed, and you can really hit these corners very fast. So I was fortunate enough. Now, typically what happens is when you do these track days with these guys, your first visit to the big track is you have to go with the new people's course. However, I qualified to skip the new people's and go into the more experienced group. So there were two groups. There were learners and then there were experienced drivers. I was so fortunate to get lumped in with the experienced drivers, because if I was with the learners, it was like 45 minutes of classroom. And then you went out, then those guys went out on the track with an instructor driving their car and showing them, this is a corner, this is a gas pedal, this is a brake pedal, you know, this is an apex, here's an entry point and all that kind of stuff. So they had to do all this education and they never really got to drive their cars until the end of the day. But the experienced group, which I was in, we got on the track first thing in the morning and were just tearing it up. So it was good because there were only, I think, 15 cars in this group, and that's not a lot. That's a nice number, in a sense. The problem is, these guys are fucking maniacs. So I went to the track, just my goal for track day was to get my car into some good corners, learn some cornering technique, start pushing the car slowly as I learned the track and get familiar with the car and start pushing it harder and harder as the day went on. That was my plan for the day. The problem is many of these guys, experienced drivers, have done this several times before, and they're just fucking killing it, like 120 miles an hour down the straight stretches and like cornering as fast as they can. And I respect that. I know that's why we're here. People want to do that, and we have a whole set of rules about how to pass. Passing is allowed. It's, you know, various locations on the track you're allowed to pass. So if you're holding someone up, then you get out of the way when it's safe to do so. Let the faster car go. I'm all fine with that. The problem is, my plan to sort of get move slowly into the day was immediately fucked up, and I was dawdling along. And then these guys would come flying up on my ass because they want to do 120 miles an hour down the straight stretches. I don't care about the straight stretches. I don't want to drive fast. I just want to go to the next corner and to have a nice entry speed, and I want to work the corners, right? These maniacs, they're just doing everything they can. So I found it was really hard that I had to work my ass off and push my car to the limit, sort of to stay out of the way of these other drivers. The other thing that typically happens when you're doing a track day is they will group cars into similar classes. So cars of, you know, same manufacturer model, you know, like all the 911s would group together, and all the M series, BMW M series would group together, and you'd have cars that were more equally matched to each other. In this case, because there were so few drivers, there was a wide range of cars. There were some super fast cars, like 507 horsepower, 430 horsepower M3s and M5s, BMWs. Those are very, very fast cars. Those M series cars are just fucking amazing. Very fast down the straight line. And then here I am in my, you know, 15-year-old Porsche. with 320 horsepower or something like that. I'm completely outmatched by these brand new. I mean, these guys are driving 2016 M5 for, you know, who knows how much they paid. $110,000 for a brand new M5. And here I am in my dinky little Porsche. So I found it to be quite frustrating because I just leave me alone. I want to play with the corners, and then the fucking asshole BMW driver comes tearing up on my ass. Like, I'm halfway down the straight stretch. I see the guy come out of corner 9, and I'm just, I'll be at corner 1 in 10 seconds. And all of a sudden, I got this BMW on my ass going, "Come on, man, get out of the way. I want to go. So I found that to be frustrating. The other thing I found was, oh, these guys are so fast, and I'm working my ass off to keep up with them. And I could hold my own. I couldn't get up to those speeds in the straights. The other thing is, I didn't want to beat the shit out of my car. Like, these guys are just pounding the hell out of their cars. And I mean, I love my car. I don't want to work the beans off of it. But I did find, like, you know, so that was the bad thing. Like, there were very fast cars, certainly outmatched this little Porsche 911, which is not to say that I wasn't doing fine. Like, I was driving as fast as this car could negotiate corners. Like, I was on the limit around every corner. And I was learning the apexes and the entry points and braking, and I was getting down. I was doing good, and I was enjoying myself. And I was able to keep up with these BMWs in the corners. You know, I could actually go faster than some of those BMWs through the corners, but then they got all this horsepower and they just mash on it down the straight stretches and fucking smoke me. So, and I'm not gonna, it was hard enough on the car. I was running in the 4,000 to 6,000 RPM range the whole fucking day to keep, you know, to keep ahead of these guys or to keep up with these guys. So, eventually I got tired and said, I don't want to drive this car this harshly. And brakes, one guy's brakes caught on fire, and another guy's brakes almost caught on fire. He was able to cool them down. I mean, these guys were nailing it. And then later in the day, I started figuring out, hey, wait a minute. These guys are driving with racing, slicks, racing tires. Like, not just my, you know, my pretty good middle of the range or high end road tires. My tires are rain ready and, you know, double compound and all that. They're good tires. But these fuckers with their M5s and 507 horsepower, they come with a trailer with two sets of tires on them. They get here and they put on their racing slicks. So there's another, that's another unfair advantage they have over little old Faye and his piece of crap 911. So I found that to be somewhat frustrating as well. So I obviously I had a great time. It was a great learning experience. I really learned that I will never drive this car as fast as this car is capable of being driven, because that's not really my style. But I do know now what this car is capable of doing, and I certainly had a blast. I did have a good time. But I did come away kind of defeated, because I thought, oh man, this is a 911, and I'm getting outmatched by these BMW M series, these little M3s. I was like, oh, it's not fair. So I came away just, you know, mixed feelings, I guess. A little bit defeated and still had a good time. Then I got called into work early for the big, massive fire. It was a big, massive fire, and I had to come to work early because all hell was breaking loose. But that's all right. That helped me pay for track day. So, all's well that ends well. All right, so I'm out today to drive this car for the first time to make sure that the wheels haven't fallen off it and that the brakes still work and that it's not, I didn't beat the shit out of it. So that's what I'm up to today. So, I had made some intimations in the last episode about buying a new car. I've been getting a little bit antsy, Binkies, and thinking, I don't know, it's time for a new car. That old 7 Series is wearing out. And maybe it's time to start thinking about an upgrade or a new car or something. And you know, I've been talking about electric cars, and I'm thinking maybe I should just get an electric car and dump that old 7 Series, which is 5, 6, 11 years old. I've had it for 8 years. So, guess what we did? We have been out test driving new cars. So, being a very concerned, environmentally conscious, caring for the world and the people who live in it kind of a person that the Faye driver is, loving and caring and considerate, I was thinking, I need to consider electric cars. So, I've been out testing my theory. So, one car that I drove was the BMW i8. Now, the i8 is it's basically a sports car. It's essentially a two-seater, although it has 4 seats. A la what we have in this 911, there are 2 seats behind me, but you'll be damned if you can get a fucking toddler into that seat back there. But anyway, there's 4 seats in it. The BMW i8 is very similar. It has you know, 2 generous bucket seats in the front and 2 microscopic seats in the back for you to put your jacket. That's about all you can fit back there. Now, this i8 is a hybrid vehicle, actually. It's not full electric. It has an electric motor in it and runs on battery power until it runs out of energy. You can plug it in and charge it up at home if that's what you want to do. And then it has a 3-cylinder engine in the back of it which puts out, I don't know, 320 horsepower or something, 360. And when you've run out of battery power, or if you're starting, if you're getting into corners and doing some high performance driving, the gas engine kicks in. It sounds quite nice too. And away you go, right? Bob is your uncle. Now, this particular car, this is an all carbon fiber car. You know, it's built in this big tub around you. It has gull wing fold up doors. They're actually called dihedral doors. Why did I come this way? I should have gone up Snake Hill today. Oh, well. All right. We'll try to resurrect. Okay, good. I'm lining up for some good corners here. So gull wing doors. It's all carbon fiber construction. The cost of this car, used, secondhand, 2014, I think it was, a 2014, $140,000, plus or minus. So, I make an appointment with this salesman at this exclusive small McLaren dealer, where they sell McLarens. The McLaren dealer is parked right beside the Bentley dealer and the Jaguar and the Range Rover dealer. So we're in a very exclusive neighborhood here. So Brenda and I go down to this place and we, you know, da-da-da, we show up. I had this guy's name. Now, this guy had an unusual name. His name was, well, I won't say his name, but it was essentially... my name is Texas. How do you do? My name is Texas. That was his name. So I get there and I walk in the door and I say, oh, hello, I'm looking for Louisiana. I got his name wrong because it's such a weird name. Hi, is Louisiana here? I'm looking for Louisiana. And the receptionist looks at me and says, Louisiana? Wait, there's nobody here called Louisiana. And then there's this guy in the corner who says, are you looking for me? My name is Texas. Are you just making some kind of a joke? So, like, right away, off on the bad foot, I called this guy by the wrong name, and he thinks I'm some kind of an asshole. All right, well, anyway, so... Now listen, folks, I knew from the get-go there's no bloody possible way I was ever going to buy this car for $140,000. You have to drive these things to know. Right? So we're talking about this car. Now this Texas was a tall drink of water. I have to say, this guy, he was kind of cute. About, I don't know, 25 years old, maybe, very blonde-haired, very clean-cut, sprucy-looking, metrosexual guy, definitely not homosexual, cute blonde hair, just everything in the right, every little, you know, eyebrow plucked, and you know, this is a lovely-looking man. 6'3" tall, this guy was. And, you know, quite skinny, very thin, nicely dressed, matching a lovely, you know, silver shirt and slacks and Gucci shoes. And, very well put together young man. You know, the thing about salesmen, they don't know fucking shit about the cars they're selling. I gotta tell you. I mean, having test driven a couple of cars in this last week, these salesmen are so dumb. Anyway, so the guy's trying to tell me what he knows about the car, and as you can imagine, I know more about this car than he does. But I'm playing dumb, doo-doo-doo. Oh, it has 160 kilometers of range on the battery? Oh, that's amazing. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Nothing like it. It's 24 kilometers, if you're lucky. But anyway, and he's telling me this and that, and, oh, can we see the trunk? So we are... We open the trunk, and it's the size of, I don't know, maybe a large duffel bag. You could get maybe a large, maybe you could get two large duffel bags beside each other in the trunk of this car. So we go to test drive this car. Now this thing is gullwing doors. It's got a wide stance, it's super low. You open up the door and there's a 1 foot sill between the door and the seat. So you gotta gymnastics to get into this car. You gotta hike your ass over this 1 foot door sill and plop your ass down deep into the, you know, 3 or 4 inches down into the bucket seat that is basically riding on the floor pan of the car. And this poor bastard, Texas, has to get in the back seat of this fucking dinky little car. And I'm telling you, man, I felt so sorry for this guy. He got back there, and he was back in the back seat, and he was all hunched over. He had to tilt his head sideways, like he was, you know, it was scrunched over, hunched over forward. He had to twist his head to one side. He couldn't put his head straight up. He couldn't even get his seatbelt on, I don't think. And there he was back there, jammed back there, so that Brenda could ride in the passenger seat. Oh, I'm very comfortable, he says. Oh, no, I'm fine. There's no problem. This is even more comfortable than the 911 I sat in the back of. What? I said, what? You got into the back of a 911? Like, there's no way. There's no way that man could fit in the back of a 911. He could barely fit in the back of this very spacious BMW i8. So, oh, the poor guy. And, you know, we'd go driving around corners and things, and I'd look back there, and, how you doing back there, Texas? And he's like, oh, I'm fine. I'm just doing my emails, so don't mind me. He's all crunched over into a mangled ball. This poor fucker. Anyway, so we drove this car. What a magnificent car, I have to say. Battery power. I love this electric power. It is amazing. And then the engine kicks in, and I swear to God, they're piping audio sounds into the cabin with over the speakers, because there's no way that 3-cylinder engine could sound as good as it made you think it sounded in the front of the car. So this i8 is definitely like a serious sports car, a hybrid, ultra high tech, right? Lots of nice features. It was a magnificent car. Handled really well, really light steering, really responsive. It was so fun. It was fun to drive. I wish I could have driven it longer. We only had about 10 minutes with it, but what a blast. So we get, you know, we go for a little drive. I'm doing good. I'm not really testing it as well as I could. We got Brenda there. We got this poor fucker mangled up in the back seat. Oh, we have to try to get a green light here. Double clutching. Watch out for those bumps. Into the corner. Accelerate. I cannot tell you how many shifts I blew in this car at the track. Trying to get from second to third. So we get back to the shop with Texas. Texas manages to extricate himself out of the back seat. And then we start with the pitching. The pitching and the pitching and the pitching. And they just wouldn't let us go. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the numbers. Well, tell me how much. What's the lease going to be? What's the number? What if I put this much down? Oh, and what's the service history? Blah, 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 blah. Yada, yada, yada. This guy was pitching. Oh, well, if you're not interested in this car, maybe you'd be interested in one of our McLarens for $375,000. So, finally, we extricate ourselves from this conversation, and we get headed out the door with the front doors in sight. I open the front door and in comes another man. And Texas says, "Oh, I'm so glad you just in time. This is my sales manager, Wong Chong Fu, here. He used to work at BMW with me. We're both BMW." And I think this guy looks familiar because he's of a certain ethnic persuasion. And I guess many people of certain ethnic persuasions look the same. So I said, "Oh, did you sell me my 7 Series, 8 years ago or whatever?" "Oh, you bought it from the dealership in Timbuktu?" "No, I'm sorry, I'm confusing you for someone else. I thought you looked like the other ethnic diversity person that sold me my other car." So I insert my foot in my mouth by calling Texas Oklahoma, and I insert my foot by calling Wang Chang Fu, thinking he's somebody else. So, oh my god. But they didn't give up. Before we could get out the door, then we had to listen to Wang Chang Fu pitch us on the car. "Oh yeah, these i8s are great. They're just a certain, just perfect kind of car for a person like you. You know, versatile and blah, 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 blah." So we had to spend another 15 minutes, hound and hawn with Wang Chang Fu. Oh my god, people. What an ordeal. What an ordeal for 10 minutes of jack-off time with a BMW i8. I swear to god, it was worth it. I just wish I had $140,000. Don't you? So that was my adventures on test driving cars and at the track. All right, so listen. I am on vacation now. Mr. Anderson and I are going away for a little trip. The summer's going great. My father has decided to go spend a few weeks of the summer with my brother, so he's kind of out of my hair for a little bit. And his wife, or soon-to-be ex-wife, is not being cooperative at all, but that's a different story. So we're going to have a lovely time over the next couple of weeks, just taking it easy around the house, taking advantage of that lovely pool. And when I get back, I'm going to tell you about a brand new car that I just bought. This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out other LGBT-friendly podcasts at pride48.com. I am the Faye Driver. You can email me at podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com.